You know who this is. Welcome to the Pure Individual Podcast.
Today's guest is Selly.
Oh,
welcome,
hey.
Selly.
How's it going?
Doing very well. Doing very well. So this episode has been a long time coming. Long time in the works.
The emotional wave, the lunar cycle. It all takes time, man.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a good amount of topics to cover.
Yeah.
Good amount of topics to cover. You want to start out with questions?
Yeah.
You want to start out interviewing me?
Well, let's start out with the foundation of our friendship, kind of like what I was talking about, because I think it'll provide context for all of the questions to come.
Okay. Well, let's you start out with that.
So it happens quite often, actually, in the human design space where I find a teacher because someone says I don't like them. And that was the case for you as well, where I walked into a situation, and granted, this was back in 2021, so I had been in my experiment for a year max, right? And I walked into a situation with someone who wasn't in agreement with you. And I was an MBA and I was using my business skills to help talk someone through some conflict with you. And now I look back and I just laugh because I'm like, wow, muggle influence right there. It was intense. But I ended up checking out your postings anyways, because I was curious. I was like, why don't we like them? Signed up for your classes, did some mentorship with you. And then at the conference, Human Design 2022, High Desert Human Design 2022, is where we really met in person. And I ended up getting pulled into sort of your penta at the conference by chance. And it was the best chance ever. But over the course of that conference is when I really realized, or I learned more about the conflict that had happened that first brought you to my awareness, my part to play in it. And then we had a really important conversation after the conference. I think it was like an hour and a half or something, about racism, about experiencing it in the professional world and in our personal lives and coming from mixed families and mixed backgrounds. And I just remember being so in awe of you being willing to just confront that head on. Like, it took, don't get me wrong, like, it took a lot for me to own, you know, some of that first conflict and some of the stuff going on. But the fact that I could come to you and just like own it and have a conversation and then was able to talk about the experience of being a person of color was like so important, because I had not had that conversation yet in the human design space. And so for me, that's when the friendship was solidified, the foundation was made. So yeah, that's my perspective on it. But I'm curious about you. You know, all of these people come to you, you're fourth line, you've got people in and out all the time, right? So what was that experience like for you? What was the start of our friendship, your perspective on it?
I mean, I naturally, you know, there's a closeness that comes with need motivation, and you know that there's a special relationship that happens between master and novice. And so there's just an inherent love there that happens from anybody that I go into, especially mentorship with, especially because it's very personal. It's very personal, very intimate. We're talking about serious life, you know, serious issues in life and serious parts of the process. And so that's something that naturally happens for me. And then I think that, but you know, I am a fourth line. In fourth lines, we bond like family. We don't bond like friends. So very often when a fourth line bonds with you, they've already bonded deeper with you than somebody who's a non-fourth line, just naturally. That's just the way that we're set up to run. So when we were, you know, it was time for us to have that conversation, it was time for us to touch on that. You know, I I would have, frankly, I would have that conversation with anybody. And the trouble is that nobody, but very few people are ready to have that conversation. And so, you bringing that to me, and also, you owning where there were some spots that you missed. That was something that was really important to me. And it's very difficult for a lot of people to admit what they missed in what they see in design. And so that was something that was very large for me. And then just the overall, from there, having the perspective that this is something that is happening, this is something that happens, this is something that's very real, and yet it's also something that is gonna take the right timing. It takes the right timing for anything to come to fruition, especially when there's a massive, infection in something that, human design is human design is a science. Human design is human design, and there's nothing that's going to change that. Human design is going to be human design. The humans that are involved in human design are going to be human. Now, that doesn't, the thing about being human is it doesn't absolve anybody from consequences of their actions or the consequences of their words. It doesn't absolve anybody of that, and it also doesn't grant nobody's entitled to any forgiveness or mercy. We all have to, there's the cause and the effect, and there's the laws of the Maya that we all have to deal with. And so, connecting with somebody else that can see it was very large for me, because that hasn't been the case for me. That hasn't been something that I experienced until we really connected on that. Because, as we are truly minorities within minorities involved in design in the professional world. And it's been a ride. I'd say it's been a ride, because we've both watched a lot happen over the years. And we've both waited out until the time comes. Eventually there's time and a season for everything, and with where we're at right now, I think it's time in the season to talk about what
The tea.
has, yeah,
Spill it.
the tea. And the thing about tea is always truth. Tea is never gossip. That's where people get things mixed up. It's always got to be facts. Tea is never gossip. Gossip is the worst thing a fourth line can do, because that destroys the trust. That's how you get ejected from the network as a fourth line. So yeah, it's time to talk about the tea, the truth, and we're gonna get into it. And
Let's do it. I've got
yeah,
questions.
I'm
We all
looking
know I've
forward
got
to it. Yeah, you always got a bunch of questions.
questions. And I think before I jump into my first question, I just want to make, as a fifth line, a caveat of like this episode in particular is of our lived experiences. And so, we talked about before jumping on here this process of like who, what's going to happen after? What's the fallout going to be? But regardless of people's opinions, you can't deny somebody else's lived experience. And I have had people try to do that in the human design space, right? After the High Desert Human Design Conference, and since people try to make me out to be a liar, this or that. And so, no matter what anybody says, you can't take lived experience away, right? That's the whole point of human design. So, that being said, my first question, since we're already kind of talking about the topic of racism, what is, oh, I have so many questions. What is the first moment that you remember a racist interaction in human design?
I would say the first moment that I the first moment was back before I started my career. And it was online, it was on Instagram, and I was just kind of, I was kind of blown away. It was in the comment section, because the worlds that I come from, when people are in something, they're actually in it, like they're actually about it, right? And so I was taken back that there were so many people that were supposed to be involved in awareness that weren't aware. And so I knew at that point, from there, I knew, okay, well, and it didn't dissuade me. It didn't stop me from moving forward in my process. It didn't stop me from, going to formal school. For the time that I went to formal school, it didn't stop me from any of those things. But it did bring it to my attention that, wow, there's gonna be some problems in here. And that's it's kind of the reality of being African in America is that you're always going to deal with it. It's a daily thing, it's something you're always going to deal with. It's just you're going to deal with it in varying degrees. And so it's very different from, other, I would say, at least in America, it's very different from other forms of prejudice because of the history here. And it's also something that happens very covertly very often. The most insidious racism doesn't come from people that are waving Nazi flags. It doesn't come from that. It comes from the people that are among people that are quote unquote conscious or spiritual, or that's where the real damage actually comes from.
Yeah, someone saying they're uncomfortable around you, but they can't list why. Like the
No, yeah,
ambiguous, yeah.
the classic, oh yeah, we're gonna get into the Emmett Till situation, because that's what people try to do. But yeah, it's been something that, I've always been aware of. It's something that I'm always gonna deal with, but it's not I guess part of the thing is that there's, I mean, and I'm not gonna say that there's so much of it, but there's enough of it, and there's enough cognitive dissonance among the social circles that are involved in human design that I know until colors are truly shown, there's no point in addressing it. There's no point in addressing it. And so it's a matter of seeing who shows their colors and who doesn't. And granted, I would, there's it's a the other thing that is not coincidental is this is only something that I see in the context of people that are in America. I don't see it on a global scale. So that also shows, where there's a serious issue, because this has only happened with, I've only ran into any issues with Americans. I've never ran into issues with anybody from
Other spaces,
any other country. Because human design's worldwide, it's everywhere. If I look at my analytics, there's people from countries that I'm like, why would somebody find me from Uzbekistan? Like, it's from everywhere. So it's not coincidental that it's something that happens in America, and it's also not coincidental the social circles that it happens in, because it happens in the same social circles. It's not like it's super spread out, right?
And so, kind of jumping in a level deeper, something that I have had a thought that I've had in my mind for a while, to your point about like people are people, a transit is not racist, right? Like a transit in and of itself, the mechanical aspect of it is not racist. It has nothing to do with it, but it's the language that people put around it. It's the examples, it's the culture that comes through people when they talk about it, when they interact with others, that adds this element of racism. And I remember very early in my human design experiment, it was racism in human design was a huge struggle for me because I was like, why aren't we talking about this? F almost 4 years in, I understand why we're not talking about it, but that also allows it to hide. And so let's bring a situation to light. Like, what is the most recent interaction you've had that had racist components to it in the human design space? What was the situation? How do people know, right? Because I feel like, as well, in these conversations, a lot of people of the majority, right? The white or the passing or like some of these experiences will come and say, but I can't recognize it when it's happening. I don't see it, right? So what, let's give an example. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I think that I could definitely do that. Something that I want to touch on is the interesting thing about this topic is that race doesn't exist in the realm of science. So we already have something that's infecting a science that actually doesn't exist. There's no such thing as race. Race is a construct. And so that's the other piece. So it's kind of, I mean, it's if you're gonna hire a scientist, they should probably be a scientist. And anybody that works in human design, I mean, really, that's what you are. You're a scientist. And if you can't, yeah, you can't have your basic science right, then we've got an issue, which means we have a very large infection. There's a very large infection if there's personality distortion that believes in and adheres to something that is entirely a construct and of personality distortion. So I think that's the first thing, because people are gonna they're gonna get on this topic and they're gonna come from a homogenized, you know, they'll come from a homogenized social justice view, and that's not what this is about at all. People need to check their personality distortion and their social justice at the door if they're gonna be aware, if they're going to work in this profession and have any future in this profession. Because I can say right now, if moving forward, prejudice is not going to, you're not gonna have a profession in human design if you're prejudiced. Because the thing is that nobody's had to face this before. Nobody's had to deal with it.
It's true.
So yeah, it's a cancer that's going to get cut out. Most recent, so I mean, that's kind of the thing about me, is that people are not direct with me. So everything, I mean, even from the, you know, from how we linked up, that wasn't direct. Nobody's direct with me. It's all covert, and that's what makes it very insidious. I would say, you know, it was very, it's apparent to me from the moment that I went to the first High Desert Human Design Conference. You know, it was apparent to me that it's more than me just being a projector, and it's more than me being an emoting projector with a powerful aura, right? You can sense where there's unease. You can sense where people are uncomfortable, because maybe they don't know how to behave, because they're used to being able to say certain things, or, you know, be casual in certain ways about their with their distortion. And so that was something that was very clear to me. And it was also clear to me that there was a large sense of entitlement in terms of authority, right? And I think, you know, that part of that is also a type issue, but you know, if you add in more differentiation, more difference, that compounds, and that compounds. And so there was, you know, there were a few moments where I had to tell people the way that things were. I had to tell people the way things were. I mean, it wasn't necessarily like I had overt, you know, racism that was there, but it was something that I sensed. And you know, it's interesting because the same, a lot of the same beings that I sensed it from are the ones that years later, a year later, or 2 years later, that's where problems arose. You know, so I could see where that discomfort, you know, built, you know, that where that discomfort built. And especially, you know, people don't, and people that are like that, and people that are prejudiced, people that have that distortion, you know, the last thing they want to see is somebody that they hate do better than them. And
You
I
don't
became
want them to see.
successful very, very quickly in human design. Very, very quickly, you know, very quickly. And so it started, you know, pretty much right off the bat. I mean, my first year working in design, it was like there was an onslaught.
And so, you know, taking a step back from individual experiences, the conference overall, for years, there has been talk about banning you from the conference for a variety of reasons, ones that I'm sure I'm not even aware of, but it's always a talk. It's always a whisper of like, oh, this year they're going to try to ban this person or do this, right? So when you first heard about people trying to ban you from a human design conference, what thoughts went through your head? What perspectives? What was the conversation for you?
Well, the you know, I guess this is the point where things just come out because, you know,
It's time.
this is the point where things come out. You know, it was It was, I was I was on a phone call with Jonah Dempsey, and you know, Jonah's always with me. He's always very forthcoming. That's what I do appreciate about our relationship, even when we disagree, even when you know we've had conflict. There's always been an honesty between us, and you know, he informed me that James Alexander had put through a petition with their ethics committee to ban me, and it was based off a live that I had, which was about the year before, where you know I mentioned that I don't trust him working with beings that are right because of the strategic conditioning. And I can see that strategic conditioning. Now, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't enough ethically to
Of course
ban me
not.
from a conference, right?
Right.
And the so things were taken a step further. Things were taken a step further in trying to assassinate my character. And one of the ways that it was taken a step further was attempting to get women to make false accusations about me. I mentioned this a little bit on my episode with Sam. You know, we alluded to it, but we didn't name names. But that was the extent because people have tried to stop me for being my definition, you know, having my definition, being provocative, provoking their spirit. And you know them not being able to deal with the discomfort of their not self, that didn't work. You know, people have tried to stop me for that. People have tried to stop me for being, you know, quote unquote polarizing. Somehow, source material is polarizing. Actual human design is polarizing. I take it as a compliment.
Dogmatic,
You know, people have said that I was dangerous, which is also a racial microaggression. And you know, none of it worked. And that's the thing is that not self games win not self prizes. You're not gonna stop somebody from being their true self, period. It's not gonna happen. So James re resorted to trying to essentially have f false accusations brought to this ethics committee about me. Of women saying that they were uncomfortable around me. And that is that's a little bit, it's a little bit out there, right? I
Yeah,
mean,
right.
that's
It's like this is, I mean, this is not like, yes, people make a living in design, right? But this is not the president of America, right? Like, it seems wild to think that someone would resort that far. And so, how did you become aware of these accusations, or how did you
Well, Jonah
finally
told
get
me.
looped in?
Jonah told
Oh,
me.
okay.
That's the thing,
You
is
heard
that this is a
everything. Yeah.
converse this is a conversation between me and Jonah. And he told me that a woman that he had tried to get to say something was not
Yeah.
going to say anything. It wasn't going to say anything. It fell apart.
Wow.
It fell apart. So, and that was the whole thing when I did my episode with Sam. It's like, where is all this coming from? I've been in a
Yeah.
relationship with Sam for 3 years. So
Right. Right.
how is any of this happening? Who are these people?
Yeah.
And it's whispers. And the whole thing about being a logical collective person is that you have to have proof.
Right.
If you have a
Right.
logical collective definition, you have to have proof.
Yeah.
If you don't have proof, then it doesn't mean anything. It's snake oil.
Right. Right.
Just trying to cook up logic.
Yep.
Nobody's ever been able to prove
Anything.
anything. Nobody's ever been able to
Yeah.
prove anything.
Yeah.
It's all speculation and projection.
Yeah.
And I think, I know that it's time for that speculation and projection and attack to have consequences.
Yeah.
Like you don't get to
No.
try and hurt somebody and not have any repercussions.
Right.
I know this very well in the very real sense. You
Yeah.
don't get to shoot at me and not get shot
Yeah.
in the
Yeah.
real world.
A hundred percent.
And that's the world that I come from.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Between men, there's always a threat of physicality. At a genetic level, when two men meet, there's always a threat of physicality. Whether it's conscious or not, two men are always sizing each other up. No matter what. People can
Yeah.
deny it. People can say whatever they want from a
Yeah.
personality level. But biologically, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Men in design, if we come together and
Yeah.
they don't like me, the threat of physicality with me
Yeah.
is something that a civilian, I mean, that's the way I look at
Yeah.
they're civilians. They're civilians. I'm an operator. I
Yeah.
operate in combat. They're civilians. Of course, if you're trying to hurt somebody through,
Words, shadows,
through cloak and
accusations.
dagger, yeah,
Yeah.
through cloak and dagger, as a man, I mean that's very unmasculine behavior. Men used to overtly challenge each other. That's
Yeah.
the world that I come from is overt challenge.
Yeah.
And in fact, I did overtly challenge James the first time that I had a problem with him.
That was one of my questions,
I did
is like,
overtly challenge him. The first time that I had a
yeah.
problem with him, I did overtly challenge him because he was trying to give guidance to a projector and I told him to stop. And he didn't listen to me. And I said, you need to stop. I'm an alpha projector. You need to stop. This is not your place. It's not your role. You can't, you can, you literally cannot do this. And he
Yeah.
didn't stop. So I put my aura into him. Stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stopped, because that's the mechanics.
Right.
So yeah, it's somebody that I've already overtly challenged. He's already had to deal with me orally. And then that wasn't great. So takes a snake route of trying to assassinate my character and trying to cloak and dagger me. But unfortunately for the people that have tried to cloak and dagger me, I used to work in anti-terror.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to
You have a whole different perspective on
my whole
that.
yeah.
Yeah.
How are you gonna
Yeah.
you're gonna cloak and dagger somebody that finds people that actually cloak and dagger? It's not
Yeah.
gonna go out. It's not gonna go out very well for you.
Yeah.
It's not gonna happen very well. So that was a serious issue.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm African.
Yeah.
That's the first thing is that I'm African. So I'm not even gonna Yeah, I'm going to make it very clear that I do not have the same experience as somebody who is a Black American or generational African American. I'm half African. My dad's from Uganda. I'm East African. My experience is entirely different. I experience anti-Blackness, but my experience is entirely different because I come from a different culture. I have a different culture. I have an actual ethnic identity. That's the other thing I'd like to get to is I have an actual ethnic identity that people think they can erase. And my experience is entirely different, so I'm not even gonna, and that's part of the big deal for me is that if somebody that is, generationally African American has these type of experiences, it's gonna hit them a lot harder
Totally
than
different.
me. And so that's why, it's one reason why it's got to stop. And I look at it from a historical perspective. This is that tactic, that strategy is the same way that hundreds, if not thousands of African Americans were lynched through that same strategy, through
And
that
are still
same
murdered
tactic.
today, are
To
still
that same
murdered today.
tactic. To that same tactic. So not only was it insidious socially, but it was also violent. It's also violent. So, at this point where we're coming up on a year since then, we're coming up on, 3 years since I overtly directly challenged him as a man, your violence is going to get exposed. That's something that has to get exposed. Nobody that thinks that way, at least from the way that I see the world, I don't think that anybody that thinks that way has any place in the realm of differentiation. That's just me. That's just me because I mean, at that point, what are we going to do? I mean, we're going to start, do we need to segregate people for these motherfuckers or what? Like, you know what I mean? Like that's
It's a real,
it's an issue that isn't, I'm not going to allow to be glossed over anymore.
Well, and like for me, my experience at HDHD 2022, one of the first things I talked about in, the recording that went viral was about being a person of color coming into this space. And I remember afterwards having a conversation with Jonah about what I had said and was basically told, like, I don't believe what you said about people of color feeling uncomfortable in majority white spaces in the human design space. And it's like I had literally had a conversation with other people of color at the conference who thanked me in person for bringing up what it feels like to be a person of color around majority white people, human design or otherwise, and to have the white male conference planner be like, I don't believe you, right? It's just perpetuating and gaslighting and removing
Totally.
important conversations from this.
Totally.
And it's also mind-blowing at the same time, right? Because I'm trying to think reflector neutral, right? So I'm looking at all of the possibilities, and I could see someone saying, like, okay, James is doing this. Why not just confront James again? Why not just talk to him directly? Why, Jonah, play the intermediary, all of this stuff?
Why hide from me for 2 years? There was nowhere that I even saw the guy this last year. I gave a chance that second year to see if there was going to be some truth and confrontation, but there wasn't. So, okay, you're not going to take that opportunity. I'm not gonna go put my aura into you again, So, I waited, but if men don't want to be men, then I can't. I'm not here to be people's dad. I'm not here to teach. I'm not here to teach grown men how to actually be men and resolve things like men. That's the thing is that things do need to be sorted out. But you cross that line, what there's nothing to sort out anymore. You know what I mean? There's nothing to sort out. You can go that far in trying to hurt me. There's nothing else to sort out. I can't even see, I mean, I can't even see somebody who's prejudiced as a man. There's no, men operate off respect. And if you don't, you can't even operate off a level of respect to speak to somebody face to face. And then you try to create a false accusation, create false accusations and fabricate something to hurt somebody further. There's really no conversation to be had. There's already too much fear of physicality on the other end. And frankly, I would be f afraid of physicality too if I tried to hurt me. I wouldn't fuck with me. I wouldn't. I would if I ever met anybody now living in my life that had gone through the experiences that I've gone through, I would not fuck with that person. I really wouldn't. And that's also something that is, it's interesting to me that for beings to have the level of hubris and the level of vanity and the level of pride that they do to think that somebody who has waged guerrilla warfare, which is the most psychological form of warfare, is
Most
not going to
intense.
know everything you don't want them to know. If I used to hunt Daesh, ISIS, what do these civilian people think I don't know about them?
We're living in an imaginary world compared to the rest of the, honestly, world. Like, yeah, America is a very special place.
Exactly. It's exactly. There's not an accurate grasp of reality. There's not an accurate grasp of reality. And the truth of the matter is nobody has to deal with me unless they fuck with me. I don't have anything to do with anybody.
Which brings us to like a whole nother topic. And I want to, stay on the topic of racism and what we're talking about, but it's sort of like you draw a lot of ire from people. I have been on social media posts where people, person after person, are going off about you in negative ways. He's sexist. He's intense. His emotional authority and needing to take time is ridiculous. Like everything under the sun, right? And quite often on these social media posts, I feel like it's mostly women that are jumping on the bandwagon and having this conversation and saying you feel unsafe, and yet people don't approach you. Like this is really what I can't fathom. And we talk about this quite often because for me, I'm like, if I have a problem with someone, I'm just going to talk to them. But people don't approach you. They don't come and talk to you about the issue. And so in social context, in mass group WA situations, right? What do you do with that? Like, what do you do?
I mean that's when I look at it, there's a lot of inevitability. First off, I'm a pure individual. Second off, I'm a pure individual projector. Third off, I'm an alpha projector. Fourth off, I come from a very different world. Fifth off, I'm half African. I don't know any other half Africans in human design. I don't know any other half East Africans in human design. So when people talk, when people mention things, it's like you can't throw a subliminal. You know what I mean? Like you're talking about me, right?
There's only one.
There's only one Brayton. There's only one me. And it's like what are the percentages, what are the percentages, that we're talking about? I have hundreds of clients, hundreds of clients, right? And over 90% of them are women. Okay, so who's saying what, and what's their experience? That was the whole thing with. When I wasn't, it wasn't just, it wasn't just this guy. There was others that were involved. There were a few women that were involved in this plot. And what's the experience? You know what I mean? It's like what's the actual experience other than your dislike of me, and why do you actually dislike me?
And
I
what
mean,
is, what is,
why would you enact violence on somebody just out of disliking them? No, that's something you do out of hate. You don't
And
do that
where
out
is
of
the
dislike.
line? Like, it's a continuous conversation in the rest of the world, Muggle culture, of like, if you don't like someone, just walk away. You know, you don't have to be a troll. You don't have to vocalize everything you feel about them. And yet in the human design space, I feel like that mentality has not caught up. There are people in the human design space that I don't get along with, but I don't go on blast every day or like make posts or stories or try to rally people against them. It's like, okay, cool, you're not for me, walk away. Like, isn't that the point of you, like, differentiation and being unique? Is that like, it
No,
doesn't just because you
don't be
don't
too different. Be different, but don't be too different.
And if you are too different, like, you're in trouble. You know?
With who? That's kind of one of the funnier things, you know. It was something that was the something that James said to me online, of course. See, people, if they're gonna say something, they're gonna do it over the net, right? Was that the human design community was anticipating my downfall, and that it was going to take
James
me
said that
out.
to you?
That it was gonna take me out. And so that's interesting. It's like, who's the leader of the human design community? Is he the leader of the so-called human design community? You know, who are these people in the human design community? I mean, what do we have going on? It's weird. It's really weird, especially when I don't have anything to do with any of these people. The only time that I see these people has been when I've been invited to go and give a lecture. And you know, it felt good that I was going to go and give a lecture. You know, there was multiple reasons why I had my own conference last year, and so it's kind of clear that I don't. There needs to be a level of professionalism to gatherings that are supposed to be professional. If people are going to come together about science and about knowledge at a professional level, there needs to be a certain level of professionalism that's there, and that level of professionalism needs to not have any ounce of prejudice to it.
And when we think about that professionalism, right? Again, translating from like Muggle expectations to a human design space, what about the responsibility of the bystanders, right? Thinking about Jonah or thinking about other people who the other women that you've talked about who have seen this happening, like is there a bystander expectation in the human design space when we talk about people have inner authority and they may or may not
I don't think
react?
I don't think that there is. I don't. Everybody is going to act out of their own authority, right? And I think it comes down to if you've taken responsibility for something. You know, that's where it comes down to, is if you've taken responsibility for something. So if you have taken the responsibility of having students, if you've taken the responsibility of holding an event, if you've taken the responsibility of facilitating something, then you're responsible for more than just yourself, in a sense. And I think that's what it comes down to. But I mean, there's a lot of pieces that come into it, you know, with motivation. Of course, there's so many pieces of differentiation that come into it. If people don't want to have principles, I mean, that's up to them. I mean, I'm not, if people don't want to have principles, like that's the young people, that's their life. You know, that's their life. But yeah, as for me, I'm not gonna associate with anybody that associates with racists. You know what I mean? Like as a fourth line, I know that you are very much who you associate with, and that's how you're largely gonna be viewed. You know, I'm not gonna associate with anybody that has any sort of prejudice, because I'm nine centered. So I don't expect anybody to necessarily do anything. And at the same time, it shows the character. You know, it shows the character. I mean, for instance, the first person that actually came out and said anything was damn near 3 years ago, and that was Sam. That was the first time that I saw anybody say anything. You know, and what does a Canadian woman know about the experience, of being half African in America, and still and being willing to actually say something. So it says a lot about the character of others, you know. Because if you the thing is that if you see things in that distortion, I don't know how effective you can be in human design.
Right, because you have to
Working with
interact with
somebody.
everybody.
Well, yeah, and if the thing is that if you're looking at somebody's design, what are you looking at? You're looking at a personality, you're looking at a design, you're not looking at a gender, you're not looking at a sex, you're not looking at any of that. So that's where things get, it's like how ethically. You know, people do what they want. If people wanna, you know, if you wanna hire a racist. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. You know, you do your thing. But you know, as for me and those that I put myself around, and they're not gonna be involved in any of this. It's seven centered buffoonery. I mean, this is seven centered. This is all seven centered. This is literally a seven centered issue, a seven centered distortion. So,
So moving from in-person experiences, what about the social media landscape? So much is said about trolls in general, right? In any social media context, but again, highlighting for you in particular, the watching you or Sam or some of these people be openly attacked by whole groups, right? Whole wads of people.
I remember when there was a whole fucking clan of manifestors that came for Sam, one time. You know, I remember that. I remember, yeah. There, of course, there's been whole clans of people that have tried to come at me too. That just goes to show how homogenized people are in not thinking for themselves. At the moment that there's a group mentality, you're looking at homogenization. So you're looking at people that aren't really living it. You know, like human design is about individual rights. It's not about social rights, it's about individual rights. And to have, you know, rights as an individual is to be respected for your own individuation. You know, it's to be recognized for that, to be seen for that, to be respected for that, regardless of whether or not somebody agrees with this or that. You know, the only time where it's like it's not about agreement is if we're talking about the actual science. You know, so you don't if you tell me that gravity doesn't exist, you're fucking wrong. Okay, like you're wrong, right? Like. So we can skip the ambiguous tippy toeing that people try to do when it comes to disagreement. It's a science. If you don't like that it's a science, you can quit it. There's no point in you being involved in it. You know, and I think that's a large piece is that people think that they're in the game and they're not in the game. They're spectators. Like if human design isn't your profession, what do you have to do with me? If you're not my client, we're not the same. You know, like that's the thing that needs to be a distinction that needs to be drawn. I do this as my profession and my calling. I have for 3 years. I haven't done anything else. It's what I do. If it's not what somebody does, they're a spectator. So what they have to say, that doesn't matter to me. They're not in the same game I am. I'm only gonna have a discussion with somebody that's relatively close to being my peer.
And so when you say spectator, right, do you mean like take me for example, right? I'm never going to pretend to be a human design professional. That is not where I am called in life. But for us to have conversations, how do I, am I still a spectator or how do you differentiate?
You're in the game.
Okay.
You're in the game. You've invested heavily into your education. You're a non-energy type. Not every non-energy type is here to work in design. We need more non-energy types to not work in design so that things can actually get sorted out. Very few of us are gonna work in design. But I'm saying in the context of like you have something to say about me, but it's like you're a spectator. If somebody doesn't know me from the professional space, if they're not a something close to a peer or a colleague of mine,
Why should you even care? They've never
why
interacted with you.
exactly? They don't they, exactly. If you don't know me, then what's the thing? I don't. The thing is I don't talk about people I don't know. I don't care. I don't. I don't live my life that way. I'm not self. I don't live a life of sitting there gossiping, talking about other people. I think that shit's weird. I also think it's weird to like go onto somebody's platform or watch somebody that you don't like. Like that's weird. That's just hater shit. Like
Hate
get it.
watching or
That's the
whatever
thing
it's
is
called.
like get a life. Get a life. Go make some. Go work. Go make some money. Go do something. You know what I mean? Like you do benefit yourself and society. You know, that's what is so just absurd to me. And yeah, I do. I don't get why you know it's this sense of entitlement that opinions matter. If you really understand human design, you're actually in the game. Opinions don't matter. Outer authority matters. And if you are not correct in your color configuration, if you're not in your motivation, if you're not in your view, you can't give outer authority. If your mind is still making the decisions, you can't give outer authority, which means that you're giving a homogenized lens of conditioning. So I don't care about opinions. If that's somebody's opinion, cool. There's other, you know, there's 7 billion, you know, more than 7 billion other homogenized opinions out there. I don't care. Outer authority is at least interesting. You know, at least it's interesting.
And
That's what I think.
I think to your point though, like even me trying to look back at all of the conversations I've had with all of the people across my 4 years in my experiment, I can feel in my body when I'm having a conversation because of an opinion of my mind. And especially when it's about people, it doesn't feel good. Like, at least for me. And I can't think of any configuration in design that's like, you are here to solely speak about individual people and your opinions about individual
There
people.
isn't. There isn't because
It doesn't exist.
it's about differentiation. And that is kind of one of the funny things is that it's usually a lot of times it's a logical collective that you know that comes at me. And Ross says about the logical collective, individuals are personal and individuals are different by their very nature. If you attack an individual, you're going to have to go to war. It's right there in analyst manual. So if these people have been to analyst school, they should know. Channels by type, 1858. Go look at it. You attack an individual and you're a collective, you're gonna have to go to war and you're gonna have to deal with it. And the thing is that you're gonna lose because the game is rigged. It's set up like that. You're never gonna stop a pure individual from doing what they're here to do. You're not.
Amen. Amen to
You're
that.
not. The way you do enough study in human design, you look at the mystical way, you do enough study in the cosmology, and you'll see that the pure individuals are moved to do things to spark consciousness. So we're operating through a geometry that you're not going to stop. You know, you're not going to. So the battle is already lost. That's kind of one of the things that for me, experientially, a lot of people have tried to kill me. Didn't work. If you can't kill me, you've already lost the battle. The battle's already lost. You already lost. If you can't take my head, you can't stop me. So you've already lost. So you might as well just take the L, go to wherever you go, do your little thing, pout, whine, complain that you don't like Brayton, and know that you already lost. You lost a long time ago. You lost when I was in an actual war. You lost a long time ago because you can't do anything, you know? But that's these people already don't live in biological reality because they have a prejudice. So they don't live in biological reality because biological reality is that we all came from Africa. So they already don't live
That's
in
deep.
biological
That's
reality.
true.
They don't even live in a science in the realm of the Maya's 3D. There's your personality can think whatever it wants, but it can't escape physical reality. It can't escape biological reality. It's not going to, So that's there's a the reality of the Maya is going to have to get faced sooner or later. It can't be, you can't continue to avoid it and trespass on others without any repercussions.
And so we've talked about in-person examples, right? What's like a social media example that you have of like
Oh man,
someone
there
coming
was,
at you?
remember that there was a reflector that came for me. There was a reflector that came for me on Threads and said that she was gonna, what'd she say? She was gonna
Remember
recalibrate
that?
me. I was
Because I
like,
didn't even know the
wow.
reflector. I remember being like, who is this random reflector popping up?
I was like, could you be more of an Agent Smith of the program? Like you're gonna reprogram me? What the fuck? And they apparently they were really offended, and then they were informed by they were informed that, oh, that it's actually source material.
And so
I
this reflector, like, had they ever talked to you before?
don't
Like,
know
have
who
you
they
ever
were.
interacted?
I don't know who they are. I don't know who any
Random
of these people
internet.
are. They don't work in design like that. That's the thing is, I don't know who these people are. I don't know who. It's like, how am I going to? How is anybody going to know who? A potential, it's like they're not even a potential client of mine. They're not even somebody I would work with in the first place. So how am I going to know who they are? So already there's a unhealthy,
It's an opinion. It's
unhealthy,
not
unhealthy.
a,
There's a lot of unhealthy ego stuff, whether it's defined or undefined. If you think that you're that fucking important, that I'm going to know who you are. If somebody's not my client or my colleague, they're not going to be in my life,
Known.
and you know what I mean? Like, you're not in my life. You don't have anything to do with my life. There's the beings that follow me, the beings that are listening to this podcast. They're important to me because they actually listen, right? They listen, they recognize me. Like, there is an appreciation that's there, a deep appreciation that I have for those that do actually listen. That they actually do get something. I do actually contribute to their process, whether they're a client or not. But I'm truly not going to be aware of somebody who isn't even somebody that would work with me at some point. Like, how am I going to be,
And
I
how would
am
they know
aware.
anything about you?
Exactly. How would they know anything about me? Exactly. I have clients that have followed me for like 3 years. And then they end up, then they end up working with me. And it's interesting because I'll remember their screen name. I'll remember, right? So like there is that, but people that just come on and they just watch you. Like, there's people that come on and they just watch me, so much has happened with both me and Sam because, we were in a relationship. Where they watch or they'd what they watch Sam and the, and And I'm just thinking to myself, like, wow, somebody, a transitional profile, six color motivation, six color view has nothing to do with any of you. You know what I mean? Like an innocence motivation person is doing their own thing. It doesn't
They're
have,
on
you
their
know,
own
so
trip, very
they
own.
they're doing their own they're doing their own thing, and so it's like, where does any of this come from other than malice, other than hate, other than spite? There's no answer for like if somebody could give me a logical answer and prove their logical
Yeah.
answer, that would be a different story. As an individual, if you can prove your logic, I have to accept it. But if you can't prove your logic,
Then,
then it's a lie. If you can't prove your logic, it's a lie. If you can't, then so that's why you have to be really careful, because otherwise you're gonna have to go to war with the individual and you're gonna lose.
Well, and even taking that thread, for example, like the thing that started that whole conversation was you were talking about something about your own design from your own perspective. And then people piled on, and I'm
I
like,
was talking with a client about projection. I was talking with a client about her own experience with my projection field.
And how, like, it blows my mind that from that you speaking about your own experience, that someone comes in and it's like, I need to recalibrate you. I'm like, where did that, like, they, it's not like you went and picked a fight, right? Like, I have truly never seen
I
some of
never
these
have.
online interactions, exactly, where you go and pick a fight with somebody. It's
I
like
don't.
you're, as a projector, you're invited into it because somebody like comes to you, right? Like it's,
I don't. I can count. I can count on one hand the amount of times that I've gone somewhere, like where I've seen something and been like, provocative. But that's just I'm provocative though. That's the thing, is it's not me trying to be provocative, but I'm like, oh yeah, that was pretty provocative, because I'm provocative. I mean, I'm designed to be. I'm designed to shake up the spirit, to see the quality of somebody's spirit, and people that don't have a high quality of spirit aren't going to be able to handle it.
Well, and
That
even, yeah, like even
I don't
expanding
go
on
into
it.
other people's stuff. So it's like, why watch me? It's like, this was, with my conversation with Dave, when Dave came on to interview me, when we were talking about projection, was nobody's forcing anybody to listen to me, to watch me. So what is it other than hate?
Well, and to that example, like, looking at the beloved Human Design Coffee Talk that everybody watches, right? Like one of the last episodes, they were talking about how they both have 39 and like both being Teresa and Brandy, or they have some part of it. And they're provocative, but why is it okay for them to be provocative, but not you?
Why is why is it okay for somebody to be shocking or provocative or any of those other things? And that's the other thing, is like, if you've got the whole channel, if you got a gate, then cute. Like, that's cute. You've got a gate. Nice. You've got a conditioning receptor. You've got
Great.
one
You're
conditioning
always searching
receptor.
for your other half.
Good
Awesome.
job. Like, yeah, you get points for that. I mean, I know a lot of people that are 39s, but there's a lot of people that are 39s, but unless you have it in life force, a 39, 55 is always going to be provocative. I'm gonna expect that. And the funny thing about it is that 39, 55s, we get along because we provoke each other, and we have the correct spirit for each other. I was just on a podcast last week. Was on Brianna's podcast, and she's a 39, 55, and I didn't even realize she was provoking me the whole time. And I was just answering the question. She's like, "I'm usually pr provocative, but you didn't." I'm like, "We're 39, 55s. We're not even going to notice that we're being,
Cancels it out a
you know,
little
yeah. We're not even going to notice. Well, we're both searching for spirit. We're both seeing if somebody has the correct spirit, right? Yeah. I don't. There's no. You wait years and you observe people, you observe and experience people for years to see if there's any validity. And I would like to think that people that are supposed to work in the realm of science would have a lot more validity to what they say, but apparently they don't. So there needs to be some sort of everybody's
Recalibration.
There needs to, well, just, it's something. The thing is like, you can only stay quiet about something and give somebody the benefit of the doubt for so long. And 3 years is my limit.
That's a lot longer than most people would give, that's for sure.
I'm a very temperate person, and I come from a, the thing is, I come from a, a background and an environment where if you are not, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You know, you've got to, I carry around a weapon that fires, close to 800 rounds a minute. You do the math on that. Think about what happens when you've got a 3 pound trigger pull and you're in a high stress situation and there's people that just killed your friends. You got to have, and maybe they surrender. And it's because they surrender, you've got to arrest them. And they just killed your friends. You think about how much restraint and how much discipline you have to have in that type of situation. These people that can't even watch their mouths have no idea the level that I operate on, the level of precision and discipline that I operate on. These people couldn't operate on the level that I do for 5 minutes. Not even 5 minutes.
And I think it also says a lot, even from like a woman of color perspective, the things that I say are very often checked. They're very
Oh yeah,
often like,
I've seen it. I mean, you were on a panel and you brought up the reality of your experience and it was dismissed. I mean, I watched that. I watched that happen. I mean, it was dismissed. And then I think that's something that I love so much about actually being in the game and actually living through source material and actually real human design is that people could go back to anything that I say and there's going to be a source material reference for it. There's
Most
going to
of your
be
posts on social media are source material. Like it's no escaping it.
there's going to be a source material reference for it. That it's the actual science. It's
That
not going to come.
whiteness.
It's not going to come from somebody's fucking idea that they came up in their head because for some reason they think their logic is better than the voice. They think they know better than the voice. I mean, whoa, the vanity. You know, I don't think I know better than the voice. I don't think I know better than Raw. He didn't know better than the voice, right? That's where the knowledge came from. So. That is something that I love when you not being of the majority, being part of the minority, being that has to deal with this seven-centered fuckery, is that when you're in source and you're in the game, these seven-centered fuckery people are going to have to go back and refer to source, and it's just going to show how much they don't know about human design and how ignorant they are. So that's the thing. They can try and fact check your stuff all they want. They're gonna have to go start reading and actually learning.
Well, and even like your point about, you didn't say this, but in my own words, the audacity of people, like there are people of color in the human design space, right? We might be doing different things. We might be a professional. We might not. We are around, but I have never seen people of color come at each other the way that white majority will come at people of color in the human design space. That makes
It's
sense.
mob mentality. They're still. It's just. It's seven centered. It's very. They're still very, very seven centered. Very, very seven centered. Unfortunately, and now that the conversation is being had, it's never been had before. Like it's, I think that now that it's something that can be out there in the open, it can be a lot easier for people to know, to know and understand where they don't need to be, where they don't need to be, and that, it is okay to deem seven center behavior as seven center behavior. Like that's
Not
not,
useful anymore.
there's not, yeah, exactly. Like, call a spade, like let's stop the ambiguity. Human design has nothing to do with any of this ambiguity. Human design has definitions. Human design has distinctions. It's differentiation. So like let's be in that. And that's what I like about the conversation, being had finally at the time that it's supposed to is that there can be places where people don't have to experience this shit,
And I think, one of the pieces that we've kind of touched on lightly through all of these different situations is the experience of projection, right? Like my experience after the conference, I was projected on as the leader of this group of women, like attacking Jonah when I had nothing to do with it and didn't know what was going on. I've also had people who have, broken the bond, said they're not going to be friends any with me anymore because I'm friends with you. And so therefore I am unsafe because I'm friends with you, which is like that's the opposite of differentiation in and of itself. But what are your thoughts on projection and how it plays into all of this? Obviously, a second line projection is very different than a fifth line projection, but like, let's talk about it.
Well, the first thing about projection is that it starts in the two and then it extends to the five. In turn, second line projection and fifth line projection are both going to be dependent upon the awareness of the person that is projecting. That's the first thing about projection is anytime we're looking at a second line personality or a fifth line personality, we're looking at somebody that you can't fully see. We're a harmonic. Particularly, especially 5-1s and 2-4s, you can't really see a 5-1 or a 2-4. You can't. You can 5-1s and 2-4s. We have the ability to see each other more so than the other profiles because we're harmonics, right? But it's always going to have to do with the awareness of the person that is projecting. So if you're a fucking racist, you're not very aware.
It's not going to help
You're
with
not
the
even
projection.
you're not even aware of biological reality, not even aware of genetic reality. So how are you gonna
Be aware of anything else about us or me or you.
exactly. You can't expect simpletons to be geniuses.
Love that. And so before we transition to another hot topic that I want to talk about, you did mention that you wanted to talk about your background and ethnicity and like cultural heritage. So something, right, that I remember, I was at a Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast in the business world 1 year, and it was a famous actor who was African, not African American, African. And one of the things that I will always remember is he specifically said, "I can't imagine what it's like to grow up black in America, because where I come from in Africa, everybody looks like me and I'm a king. Everybody expects the best of me. Everybody worships each other for being black. And yet in America, the experience is totally different." And so for you grew up in America, right? But as you mentioned, you're mixed. Your dad is specifically from Africa. So what, tell us more about, that background, that experience, how it's helped to define you or your identity or your projections.
Well, I mean, it's interesting when, because it is a very different experience if you are born in Africa and then you come to America, right? And even if you are born in Africa and you come to America very young, it's still a very different experience. When you have one parent that is generationally, my mom would be Anglo Norman or Anglo Celt. That's a very different experience because you've got two different cultures. You've got two very different cultures, and background wise, I come from a tribe in northern Uganda that is historically very militaristic, and so the and now you can keep an awareness that my tribe has existed for
Longer
thousands
than
of
we can
years,
imagine.
thousands of years. My these genetics that I got from my dad have been there for thousands of years, and not far from where my tribe is, that's where the first human genome was that we have that
Wild.
was found,
Wild.
right? So I come from an ethnic group. I'm an Acholi. I come from an ethnic group There's about 1 million of us, and that's the thing, is that in that continent, there are many ethnicities in that continent. Just because you have a similar amount of melanin in your skin, that doesn't mean that you have the same
The same.
ethnicity.
Yep,
And
100%.
this is why I'm saying people don't. There's a difference. What's the genetic reality? What's the biological reality? I'm a Choli. Yeah, I'm a Choli. When people throw subliminals about me, and they use, they talk about black men or black this or black that. That's erasing my entire ethnicity. That's a that that's that is that's a form of genocide. Ethnicity erasure is a form of genocide. So there's a lot of there there's actually a lot of violent shit that's going on. And maybe people aren't aware of it. I mean, I don't know. And that's the thing is that you don't get to be in Human Design and not be aware. You don't get a pass.
Just because it's
You
not talking about racism.
you get on a podcast and you throw a subliminal about me and you erase my ethnicity. Just because you haven't heard about it yet doesn't mean you're not going to get addressed eventually. That was something that happened recently. It's a very different experience. I didn't grow up with the same, and the thing is, I don't know what that experience is like. All I have is from watching it with people that I'm close to, or hearing about it and having conversations about it. Because I don't, I have the privilege of colorism. I have the privilege of colorism. I have the privilege of not being generationally African American. The racism in this country is so fucked up that I literally have privilege being half African and not being generationally African American. I don't just
Same with me.
generationally African American.
Same with me.
Like, yeah, it's fucked. It's fucked. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not even gonna pretend that that's my experience, but I still do experience, anti-blackness, and it's it's really weird. It's weird to never, I mean, and it helps that I'm an individual, but I don't fit into,
The bucket.
I don't really, yeah, I don't exactly, I don't fit into, I don't, yeah, that's the thing, is I don't fit into any boxes. I don't fit into any boxes. Coming
It makes
from,
people uncomfortable.
well, people don't know what to do when you don't fit in any of the boxes. Not only am I an individual, but background wise, I don't fit in any of the, I don't come from the New Age world. I don't come from the spiritual world. I don't come from any of that. I mean, I come from theology, but that's,
It's
but that, but
different.
that's different, because there's
It's
exactly, there's over a decade of dedication and study in that. That's not a, that there's not spectating, there's more and more, and there's no spectators in that realm either. So it's a very different background. I guess I would say that, and at the same time, something that's interesting is the person that taught me how to deal with racism. It was my grandfather, who was a rancher. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and he was the one that taught me how to deal with the seven-centered bullshit. He was the one that told me, you have to be better than everybody. So you're gonna have to dress better. You're gonna have to be better at everything that you do, because you're not gonna get a break. You're not gonna get. And I'm like, I'm seven. I'm seven, and this conversation is being had that I'm going to have to be better than everybody at everything that I do. And I took that to heart, and that wasn't something that I talked about or said anything to anybody in my family about. I don't even know if I've even said anything to a lot of people in my family about that conversation, because that's truly what I had to do, and that's what I still do, is still aspire to be better at everything that I do. because I don't get the I don't get the pass of being mediocre. I don't get to be mediocre, you know? So it's a different experience. I won't even begin to pretend that it's as intensive an experience as it is for some, you know, for people for beings that have more melanin in their skin, for instance. That, you know, I benefit from colorism, I benefit from culture, all of those things. But and in many ways, I think that's why I have a high responsibility to confront it, because I do have a level of privilege that others don't. And so for me, I do feel a large responsibility, because I don't I haven't had to go through the same personality, psychological suffering that a lot of people do. Doesn't mean that, you know, doesn't affect me. Doesn't mean that it's not violent, because it is. It's very, very violent. But, you know, I do see, because I do have that privilege, that I do have a responsibility.
And we've talked about how I experience the same in my own way, right? Like if I put my family's Norwegian white last name on a resume, it's gonna get looked at more than someone who doesn't have, a white familiar last name. Or the amount of times that most of my work is online, virtual from home. We don't use cameras, we don't use any of this stuff. And the amount of times that I walk into a room and someone's like, I did not expect to see a short Latina. Like, I did not, your voice does not match what I had in my head. Like, that's privilege that isn't, it's not that it needs to be a conversation, but I don't think people, and people being the majority, understand the pressure that is put on people like us in the middle, in between the two worlds, to bridge that gap, to be a voice for both sides, to help others navigate that conversation. And like you said, make this space more accessible so that those that are coming and other people of color don't have to experience the same bullshit over and over and over again.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's an enormous amount of pressure. There's an enormous amount of pressure. Because yeah, you always are, you know, it's like you can't, because you're both. You can't say that I'm one or the other, you know. It's you're both, you know. And so there's always, you know, but that's that, and that's in you. So there is a, you know, just inherently at a personality level, psychologically, because you know that you're both, you're going to have to deal with the world in a different way. And it also, in many ways, I think you there's a level of ostracization that also happens, because you are both, you know. And so you're not gonna fit in those
You're never
societal
enough.
boxes. Never.
You're
Yeah,
never
you're
enough.
not gonna. Well, so here's something that's interesting, and this is a total sidebar, is that, you know, in Africa, I'm just a Choli. But over here, I'm
I'm
quote
black.
unquote mixed.
Mixed
But in
background.
Africa, I'm a Choli. I actually have my ethnic identity is recognized.
I love that.
So it's gosh, I just see it as so primitive. See, this is like it's where we're talking about such a primitive mentality. If it wasn't so insidious and dangerous, I wouldn't even give it the such a primitive, you know, low level of awareness and consciousness in any time of day. But it's something that can hurt other people
It
very
can destroy
deeply.
people. It
Oh
can,
yeah.
like, as you've talked about in your examples, it's people literally trying to destroy you. And what is that kernel of truth that they have that took them down that path, right? There's never a reason,
If I'm, yeah, I mean, I'm somebody that has actually destroyed people. And if I'm gonna destroy somebody, I'm going to destroy, they're not gonna exist anymore. People can take that how they want, but that's who
The
that's just
work
talking
that
right
you
now.
did,
That's who's talking right now. You know, I made sure that your houses didn't get blown up. So, you know, you're welcome. You know, you're welcome. While my critics were making, you know, Canva slides or intellectually masturbating about how intelligent they are, I was actually doing shit in the world. What's the what what's the actual What's the actual reason? And when people don't have actual reasons for anything,
Beyond, I just don't like them, which is no
exactly.
bearing on
It's cool, like
ability
cool. Don't
or,
like me, but what drives you to try and destroy my career and potentially put me in a situation that I could have to that could get very physically dangerous. You know, this is how, like I said, this is how African American men get killed, you know,
Literally in our
literally.
country.
Yeah, this is how it happens. And then these same tactics have been employed. So what drives that other than hate? There's not there's I can tell you right now, being in an environment, being around people that kill people out of hate, you're not going to do human humans are yeah humans are humans, but I've been all over the world, and for the most part humans are pretty fucking great. Places that I've been in the world, humans have a lot of respect. Humans have a lot of in other cultures there is a lot of respect. The only way that anything like this happens is through hate. You know, there's places in the world, and this is where it blows my mind, there's places in the world where this type of behavior, you'd get killed out of honor, and nobody would do anything. You know, like truly, like there's places in the world where, I mean, for better or worse, honor killings are a thing, but that goes to show that there's places in the world where what you say matters, where you have to answer for what you say. But we, you know, what we're talking about is a matter of people that are honorless, and the wounds of honor are self-inflicted.
That feels good for that conversation. Before we transition, is there anything else? Any
I think
other?
that's enough for now. I think that's enough for now.
To light a fire and see what happens.
Yeah, I guess some people are gonna have to be they're gonna have to just deal with the consequences of their actions, you know. I don't really there's nothing really else to do. It's not, you know, that's the thing, is that they already failed. They already fail. They've already continued. No, nobody has taken a W. Like,
Right, because you're still going to the con you're
they're
still
just
invited
gonna
to the conferences. You're
they're
still,
still gonna they're still gonna I mean, I have my own now. Like
Good point.
they're still gonna they're just gonna continue. You know, if you lose once or twice, you're not gonna win the third or the fourth or the fifth, or I know this. Like, you're just gonna keep losing. So, you know, it's not a matter of actually being under a true threat, just in the sense of I am who I am. I have the experience that I have. A lot of people have tried to kill me. A lot of people have tried to hurt me, and they've all failed. You know, so what's a what I don't, you know, it's, you know, what's a lion gonna do? What's a mouse gonna do to a lion? That's what we're looking at. There's not a way for them to actually do anything that's going to have any real effect on me.
Cause damage,
It's what could potentially happen to others. It's the principle of what could potentially happen to others that I, as an 8-1, as an alpha projector, as somebody who's an example of direction, I have to set. I think that's enough for now. I don't, it doesn't, I mean, the rest doesn't really matter, because I don't, you know, you can't have conversations with racists.
Right.
You
It's
can't.
true.
You can't re. You
'Cause...
can't. You can't. You can't reason with. You can't reason with people that are that disconnected from reality. So I don't think there's
Yeah.
anything else to say
Yeah.
about it.
That makes sense. Then the other topic of conversation, which you just touched on, let's talk about projector power dynamics in human design. And if you want to, do you want to keep going or do you want to wait? I guess I should ask.
Yeah, we can keep
Okay.
going.
Okay.
Projector power. Well, I mean, the first thing to understand is that projector power dynamics are a matter of responsibility. We're not manifestors. We don't
Yeah.
rule. We
Yeah.
don't rule. So if you're a Jeta throat projector, you've either got the channel of the alpha, which is logical collective. You've got the channel of inspiration, that's the channel that is the alpha key channel for pentas. Or we've got the channel of the prodigal. All three of those are expressions of identity. All three of those have roles.
Yeah.
And those are the only three channels that are going to get recognized in a group. Because projectors get lost in groups. Unless you have one of those three channels, you're going to get lost in a
Interesting.
group.
Yeah.
So all projectors are designed to guide groups of 3 to 5 people. We're all
Yeah.
designed to guide groups of generators. But it's going to be aurically, because of frequency, it's going to be easier for some of us, and others are going to have more responsibility. A projector that's an 8-1, the moment that they're in a group of people, they're responsible for everybody,
Yeah.
up to 15 people.
Wow.
So it that's what it is. It's a matter of responsibility, and it's something. It's your mission, should you choose to accept it or not. I
Right,
chose to
right.
accept mine a long time ago, so that's what I live
Yeah.
out.
Yeah. And so, I remember on social media a while back, maybe it was last year, who knows at this point, but there was a conversation on Instagram in the comments about people pushing back on projectors should ask for their worth and projectors should wait to be invited and projectors, are here to lead the masses, right? And before we started recording, we had this conversation where like there are source material Ra says in if you think about a business environment, the projector should be the CEO. Like that's the point. And so what has your experience been? Because I know you, I think it was you and Jonah in the comments going back and forth for a bit about like, stop bugging the projectors, like these types coming in and saying, trying to
It's not
control
their
what projectors are
place.
doing.
It's
Yeah.
not their place. And the reason why they're and see, that's also that's also a large piece of the heat that I get, is because I am an alpha projector, because I do set direction. I'm this whole conundrum. On
Yeah.
top of that, my background, my ethnicity, all that on top of it.
Yeah.
But I came out and said, yeah. I mean, even my, like I said, the first time that I had to deal with a confrontation in human design was overt. I put my aura into somebody and I said,
Yeah.
no, I'm an alpha projector. You don't get to do this,
Yeah.
because you aurically, with an open enveloping aura, cannot guide somebody.
Yeah.
It's a mechanic. It's the way that it works.
Yeah.
You can't use a wrench on a screw. It doesn't work.
Right.
It's not that hard.
Right.
Like, it's really not that hard to
Yeah.
really wrap somebody's mind around, and unless they have the hubris to think that they're something they're not, which is not self,
Yeah.
right? So that's the thing, is that there's a blatant disregard for the role of the projector, which is why I gave a lecture on the role of the projector this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a blatant disregard for the role of the projector. And I remember when I first went into, a quote unquote professional space in aura, that
Yeah.
was what I experienced. Was, you're a projector, go sit in the corner until somebody invites you. Now, I know from source material that as a projector, you can say whatever the fuck you want, you can do whatever the fuck you want, you just don't
Yeah.
initiate.
Yeah.
And I also know that the moment that an energy type walks into your aura as a projector, the moment that they engage with
Yeah.
you can say whatever the fuck you want,
Yeah.
because they recognized you. They either
Yeah.
initiated
They
or
came
they
to you.
responded. Yeah, they or
Yeah.
exactly. And mechanically, the way that that works, and this is another piece that makes people very, very uncomfortable.
Feisty.
Well, it makes people very uncomfortable, because when you're a defined throat projector, particularly when you're a defined throat Jeta, right? When you're a projector that has a built-in leadership capacity, what happens when an energy type comes in, they give you that motor to throw energy. They don't even, it's not something where they're like, here's your energy. It's an automatic mechanic. Raw talk, it's talked about in Channels by Type, that the moment that you and that he talks about it, is the moment a manifester initiates a Jita throat projector. The Jita throat projector is more powerful than the manifester. I've watched this. I've watched manifestors initiate, and then they have problems with me after because they felt the energetics of, oh shit,
What did I do?
I can't bulldoze this person. And I'm an emotional projector. You can't, emotional projector aura is not like other projector aura. It's not. It's
The awareness and the motor.
ask a, yeah, ask, exactly. Ask a, you know, a ask them, ask a manifestor how they feel about around an emotional projector. They'll tell you. A real manifestor, they'll tell you. They'll tell you how they feel around us. And then, and they're the ones that can bulldoze everybody else except for us. You know, that makes people really, really uncomfortable because they've never had to deal with it before. They've never had to really deal with a projector that's gonna be a project. You know, I'm gonna live it out. I'm gonna live out what my role is. You don't have to like that we're here to guide the species into the future. You don't have to like that the cross of the Sleeping Phoenix era is also known as the projector era, as per Ra. Uruhu, it's the projector era. You don't have to like that it's the projector era that's coming in 3 years. You don't have to like source material. You don't have to live your design. Nobody has to, but it doesn't change the reality of it. You
And so
know?
why do you think so many other types, reflectors included, this is all types, why do you think so many types push back on
Because
what
they,
is a simple statement,
I know exactly why. Because it's a seven-centered mentality. Because they think of power dynamics in a seven-centered, and the only type that's never been seven-centered is the projector.
Right, because you came after the
Because
newest.
we're the only, yep, we're the we're the we're the we're the we are the last, the last and only type that has only been nine-centered. And so, you know, the second energy type, the second non-energy type, or the first non-energy type actually is the reflector, right? It used to be, there was, you know, there was reflectors, there was manifestors. So the experience genetically, there's an assumption that we're gonna be like manifestors. There's an assumption.
Because you're going to
And
lead, so you're going to impact and push.
right, but that's the thing, is that manifestors, their way was sticks and whips. And off with their head, and let's crucify them, and let's lynch them, and let's that was the way that manifestors got things done. That was the way that they got things done. I mean, the program is a grinder, what to do. And you know, it's funny because I'm somebody that I come from a long line of manifestors. I was raised, I mean, my grandparents are manifestors. Like I was very much born from manifestors. I'm very comfortable around manifestors. I love manifestors. And I also know the reality of the not self manifester and its purpose, right?
Intense,
Right. And how they got things done. The projector doesn't get things done like that. The projector is here to actually have the knowledge of human design. And to guide the species, our survival as a species relies on whether or not projectors take their place. Our survival as a species, that's everybody, relies on whether or not projectors end up doing their job.
Well, I mean, looking at the reflector, we talked about this in that same lecture. Ra literally says, until projectors get their shit together, reflectors will never
Have
come
their
into their
place.
own, right? And it's just interesting. I mean, to your point, right? Like, wasn't Hitler was a manifester, right? And thinking about
So is Mussolini,
that
so is Vladimir
impact,
Putin. A lot, there's a lot
right?
of, a lot of, a lot of, a lot,
Present
you know.
day,
A lot, yeah. It's funny too, because there's lectures from Ra where he's like, you think that any of these dictators that are manifestors are gonna give up their power? No. They're not
Never.
gonna give, because that's the way that they, you know, that's the way they operate. You know, we operate very, JFK was a projector. There's, you know, we operate very, very differently, right? We're not, and you can, we have very complex configurations. People don't have to, they don't have to like what's going to happen inevitably. That's kind of my thing is, people get huffy and puffy. It was funny. My first human design conference, I had to put my aura into somebody and inform them that I'm an alpha projector and to stop doing what they were doing. Right? They don't have to like that. That doesn't change the reality of it.
Well, and even just thinking that like liking something is literally the not like the not necessarily the not self, but it's a mind game. It is a like conscious
It is.
personality mind game.
Right,
Why
yeah. Not
waste your
witnessing.
time on something you don't like? You're not responding to it, so walk in the opposite direction or walk in
Yeah,
whatever direction is right for you,
exactly. Exactly. If you're not responding to it, why are you involved in it? If you're sacral and you're why are you involved in it if you're not responding to it, right?
And I think, kind of the last, well, before I get to the last part of this topic, is there anything else you want to say or share about, projector dynamics and the heat that comes with that from other types? I have thoughts about the reflector projector dynamic, but we'll get there.
There's a man. Here's the thing is that, and I said this at my conference. I said that I was going to strip the energy type power. I was going to strip power away from the energy types. What do you think I've been doing? I said it openly because that's the thing about me is that I don't need
Play
the cloak and
games.
dagger.
Who
I don't need the
cares?
cloak and I don't need to I don't need to I don't need to cloak a dagger. Could I? Yes. In fact, my favorite thing to do and what I used to train people in was ambushes. I love it. I love turning six men into 100 and I love going up against overwhelming odds. I love all that, but I don't need to do that. This is the me somewhat trying to live a civilian life, right? So I don't need to worry when I say something like I'm going to strip the power from the energy types, because at some point there in a nine-centered world there would be a transfer of power, right? There would be a transfer
Naturally.
of there would be a na
Naturally,
in a nine-centered in a nine-centered world. We don't live in a nine-centered world,
Far from
and
it.
all who have power fear losing it, and the majority of the influence that and power, socially and institutionally has naturally fallen to the generator, which is totally the way that it's supposed to be. They maintain the Maya. They are the ones that have the energy that keeps the whole fucking thing running. They're the builders. They're the ones that create, right? It's very appropriate, right? It's very appropriate. However, we're at the point now where there's a continued suppression on the projector in terms of power and influence and trying to rip the projector down, trying to right stop the projector's success, trying to stop the projector from taking their place. And so at this point, that's something that has to happen. Now, a serious issue that projectors have is being super slaves for the generators. This is where you see projectors try to tear down other projectors
Oof.
for the energy types, right? The crabs in a bucket. That's another massive problem. That's something that I also notice is that the energy types, the non-energy types that come for other non-energy types, they're tap dancing for the energy types. The reflectors, the projectors that come for other reflectors or projectors, they're tap dancing for manifestors and generators. So they're overall like there's a serious not self problem. It's for me, it's very simple. It's mechanics. It's live your type. Follow your strategy, honor your authority, go through your radical transformation, and you're going to play out, you're going to live out your role.
And
You're
it's
going to
going to be
live out
so
your
much
role.
better.
It's easy, it's simple,
Yeah, it
and
is.
nothing is better than anything else. I've educated so many projectors, getting in the we're and we're getting in we're in the hundreds, and I always tell them, we're the top of the hierarchy, but we're here to be of service. It's very different. We're not the top of the hierarchy, having everybody serve us. We're here to be of service. The only way you get out of work as a projector is by providing a service.
Guiding.
By
That's
being of
not an
service.
inactive state. It's an active
Exactly.
state.
And it's something that we do cognitively, but overall, the truest function is that we have the aura that can penetrate, and it can either, guide the individual, or it can guide the transauric form, the penta, right? It's not, there's so much to it that it's just like blatantly not self. The generators that I know that are satisfied, they're generators. Like, they know that they're generators. They're glad that they're generators. They have, you know, the I have clients that I mentor that are generators, that are very, they're upfront on, you're a successful projector. I want to put myself around a successful projector. They're going to experience satisfaction around a successful projector. Around it, you know what I mean? Like, there's a very that's something that's difficult for me, is the as a projector, I see the relationship between the projector and the generator as holy, and I don't have other language for it, because it is a very, very special relationship, but it only functions if both parties are being what they are. That's the only way that it functions. If the projector is not guiding, and if the generator is not allowing the guidance, if the generator thinks that they're seeing more than the projector, they think that they're here to see,
But it's not the right projector for
when they're
them.
when well when they're not here to see. The projector is here to see. So, it's accept what you are, accept your limitations. That's what human design is about. Awareness begins with limitation, and we got fish trying to be birds, and birds trying to be fish, neither, it's not about anybody being better than anybody else, or anything like that. It's like, we all have a role to play, and you take a look at your profile, you look at your type, you've got your role, you look at the lines, there's your script for your life. It's very, human design is very complex, but it's also very simple. And a lot of these, the dilemmas that we're talking about are just really not self. They still have to be talked about, but it is interesting that they're such simple. It's so simple to identify them as not self, because it's simply being what you're not, or trying to be what you're not, living out what you're not. And that's a big issue that we have when it comes to projectors taking their places, that people are trying to stop projectors from taking their place, even projectors.
It's not just all the other types. And I mean,
No.
we talked about this, a little bit before recording, but I'm human, and I remember first encountering this conversation of like, sit down, projectors, like you're not so special, and like rolling my eyes, right? But when I had that negative reaction, my first response to that was, why am I so pissed off about this? Like, why do I care? Right? Like, it what I had my moment of like, oh my God, I'm so annoyed about like projector guidance and I can't guide and all this stuff. And then it was like, but why am I wasting my energy on being annoyed with that? Like, why does it matter? And I think there is a very symbiotic and parallel relationship that projectors and reflectors have, because I recognize that I have wisdom to give to any type. And you could, like, all types have outer authority. That's
Oh,
great, right? But like re reflectors here, right? Evaluation, wisdom,
yeah.
discernment, all these things.
Yeah.
But I don't want to guide. Like, I am very clear that I do not have the energy to guide. I do not learn a system like a projector does. And so for me, when I think about a healthy projector reflector relationship, it is really based on this understanding of like, you know the system, and I can help you create more spaciousness. I can ask a question that can bring more insight and more wisdom into it, but that doesn't mean that I supersede your own wisdom or your own guidance, or that it's the same role,
Right.
But it seems to be such a sticking point between projectors and reflectors. It can cause, I've talked to so many reflectors that went through that same phase or still are in that same phase of like, I don't get along with projectors because they don't recognize me or they don't do this, you know?
There's a, it can be difficult for the other types because projectors do get recognition. We're here to be
Meant to
recognized.
be.
And that, I know that, like, that a lot of envy, a lot of like a lot of the envy and the jealousy, that's what it's rooted in, is seeing that we get recognized and then they, and then they don't, but they don't have to live a projector's life. The amount of discipline that it takes to live this way is it's immense. It's an, an immense amount. And everybody has, everybody does have what they can contribute. I'm not here to evaluate groups. I'm here to guide groups, but I'm not here to evaluate them. I'm here to guide them and make them more efficient. You're here to evaluate them. I'm not. That's not my, that's not my trip. It's just a matter of accepting what you are. That's is accept what you are. You can never, nobody can ever love themselves if they don't accept who they are. If you're always trying to be equal, you can never be different.
Amen to that.
You can never be different. Human design is not about oneness. It is not about equality. It's about individuality,
It's
no
not about
matter what you,
community.
not about community. No, it is not. It's never been about community. Human design is the, it is, it is very much an anti-homogenization, anti-social process. It's not about any of those things. It's not about, I mean, is it great when we can relate to each other, when we can find where, where we have things in common? Yes, that's great. But even more important is where we're different. That's even more important. You know what I mean? It's like, we're not, human design is not about, oh, we're all in this together, because that's a lie.
It's true.
Nobody's in anything together. That's the background frequency. It's like, so for me, it's hard for me when it comes to the reflector, because I know what the role is of the reflector, and I know what needs to, I don't know all the certain events, but I do know what needs to happen in order for all that to come to fruition. And so long as there's the reflector manifestor cabals that come for successful projectors, it's not going to happen. The reflector can't count on the manifestor to
Take
give them their
them.
place. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. And so, and in source material, Ra says that there's naturally, we do have our genetic imperative of the projector and the generator and the reflector and the manifester, right? But when we look at it, we've got two non-energy types and two energy types, and the non-energy types are designed to work with, together, right? Not designed to work against each other. But there's no way for, and I became very disillusioned, because I used to do the most that I could for reflectors when I first came in to the game. And then I started getting attacked, and then it was like, well, I can't do anything
Screw
for,
that.
I can't do anything for you, for all of you, if you, if you got, if you're 1% of the population, and there's a lot more than that, that, if the ratio is that off, where I don't even have two reflect, I don't even have three reflectors in my life, and I got fucking a whole cabal of them attacking me, I can't do anything
That have
for the
never talked
reflector
to you,
population.
never interacted with you, like,
Can't do anything. It's like, I can't, I'm gonna have to wait a decade. I'm gonna have to wait until I've got things lined up, and people are less not self, so I can do something for the reflectors. But as a leader, as an alpha projector, as a master, I can't do anything until that changes.
We're all, trust me, as a reflector, I'm also waiting for the change. Two last quick questions on this topic for you. Maybe they're not going to be quick, but we'll see. The conversation around, I know it's a hot conversation around pricing and in the human design space for sessions, for classes, for all of this stuff, right? And it's a lot of people point fingers and say it's too expensive. How can you charge that much? So what do you have to say about that?
Well, first off, it's got to come from everybody's place of authority. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
As a projector, I look at definition. So, yeah, I'm always going to look at definition. I'm always going to look at type. I'm going to look at all of those things.
Yeah.
Now, it's not my place to say this about fucking that.
Yeah.
It's really not. The way that I see the world, the way that I experience things is as I'm going to go based off the level of recognition that I get.
Yeah.
My pricing is based off the recognition that I get and the feedback that
Yeah.
I get.
Yeah.
It's not based off anything other than that. I changed, for instance, I'll give an example. I changed my mentorship pricing and my mentorship length because a client said to me something that I didn't expect. I didn't expect a client to say, I would want to work with you for a year and I wouldn't want to, I would, I feel, I would, I feel wrong paying less than $500 a session.
Wow. Yeah.
She said, I don't feel like I'm paying you enough for what you've
Yeah.
done in my life. And I was okay.
Yeah.
And then I continued to get that feedback.
That's the recognition. Yeah, the
And exactly.
success.
So
Yep.
then, I ride my wave and there you go. And that's the
Yeah.
thing about being a projector. And in the case of the projector is that projectors can't see themselves. So a lot of times we're going to set our pricing based off the level of recognition we get. Now we get the
Yeah.
level of recognition that we get based off our system mastery,
Do you know it? Do you know your shit?
based off how
Yeah.
good you actually are.
Yeah.
It's not just that you're a projector.
Right.
Cool, you're
Right.
born a projector. Are you really one? Because if you weren't raised as a projector, you're not.
Yeah.
You're becoming one.
Yeah.
But once you've mastered a system and that's what you do, then that's what you do. And people are
Yep.
going to recognize you for that, and they're going to give you energy for you to provide your mastery and your guidance.
Yeah.
And the people that recognize you are going to know the value, and they're going to pay what they're going to pay
Right.
for what you can provide. I know what
Right.
I can provide. I know that somebody comes into the room with me, I mutate them, I change their life. Put a price on that.
Right.
Put a price
Right.
on it, that's me. That's my configuration. I'm a pure individual.
Yeah.
I'm a pure individual. People can also pull from me. I have a depth that doesn't have a there's it's bottomless. I've got a
Yeah.
whole universe. I'm quad right. I can
Yeah.
have, you know,
Love
there's
that.
no, there's
Yeah.
no, and there's no end to my memory. People can
Yeah.
pull the human design system from me and they can pull source material from me. There's a price to that. There's a
Yeah.
price to me empowering, me giving somebody my power. There's a price to mutation. There's a price to my depth, both through my rightness and through my emotional system.
Yeah.
There's a price to my definition, and that's going to be set based off the amount of recognition I get.
Yeah.
If another projector doesn't get a certain amount of recognition and they've got a problem with their what they charge, that's a personal problem. They need to be a better projector.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting paid what you're getting paid because of the level of mastery that you have.
Yeah. And also, you make what you need. Like Ra talks about this. You're gonna
You're
get
always going to
what
get what
you
you
need
yeah,
if
exactly.
you focus on being yourself in your own experiment, you will get whatever you need and your life will be great. Stop fighting against it. Stop the
Exactly.
mental conversation. Again, who cares what somebody else is charging? What really does that have to do with your life
Exactly.
beyond
Why
mental
are you even
candy?
looking at it? Why are you
Yeah.
even look? Why does that even matter?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why does that even? Why does that matter?
Yeah.
There are people that charge more than I do. That their level of knowledge, their level
Yeah.
of understanding of the human design system, is amateur at best. But
Yeah.
what to do? I don't. That's their
Yeah.
trip. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's their trip,
Yeah.
and I don't know what somebody's getting from them.
Right.
They could be getting something in, you know what I mean? That
Yeah.
they could be getting something from somebody. For instance, there's quite, there's a growing population and a lot of people that I'm working with in mentorship that they're in different fields and they're learning human design on a very deep level to assist them in their work, right?
Yeah.
Right. So human design isn't their profession, they're going to be charging whatever it is they charge for their profession.
Right.
I don't have, what
Right.
does that have to do with me? That doesn't
Right.
have anything to do with me. It's that's the thing, is that the what a projector receives in terms of energy is going to be equivalent to what they provide, because
Yeah.
that's the way that we function. That's the way
Yeah.
the invitation functions. There's not a way, I'll say, the energetics of it, there's not a way around it.
Yeah.
We're non-energy types. We have to get invited in order for our definition to fully present itself for the other
Yeah.
person, and that requires energy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's something where I think everybody, actually, I know that everybody, I mean, unless you're, with the exception of the 3% of the population that's psychopaths,
Yeah.
which is, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not
It's
saying there's anything wrong
part
with
of a
that.
life, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of our species, right? With the exception of that, theoretically, everybody has a sense of morality that happens through the second color that's in all of us. We all have a sense of morality.
Yeah.
Everybody does. Even those of us that are very dualistic, like myself, we all
Yeah.
have a sense of morality because we all have the second color in us,
Yeah.
right? And so there's a sense of morality that's there. Everybody more or less knows what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
You
Yep.
know what I mean? Like, we
Yep.
don't have to get into semantics. People know when people know when they're charging more than what they're giving.
Yeah.
People, you know what I mean?
Yep.
People know that when I know when I'm giving more than what I'm charging.
Just like I know when I'm having a conversation about somebody that is not my business, right? Like,
I mean, there was an old Stoic way of discerning what was worth talking about, and it was, it's the first thing is it good? Well, it's not good. Well, okay,
Yeah.
why are you
Why
bringing
is it
it to me?
happening?
Okay,
Yeah.
is it true? No, you don't know that it's true. It's not a fact.
Right.
Well, why are you bringing it to me? Is it useful?
Yeah.
I mean, at the first question, if it's not good, why are you bringing it? At the first question, and it's like it just continues. There was an old Greek Stoic way of discerning whether or not,
What's the point of the
somebody, why are we
conversation?
talking
Waste your
about
time.
somebody if we're not going to talk? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it good? It's like, if you're going to talk about somebody, if something needs to be addressed in order for good to happen, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Gossip is very, very different from
Yes.
actually, from actually being an adult in the real world.
Yeah.
But real adults don't gossip. Don't, at least nine-centered adults don't gossip, and
Yeah.
nine-centered adults don't avoid conflict and things like that. And that's
Yeah.
really what we're looking at heavily in this conversation as a whole, is nine-centered behavior versus, nine-centered behavior versus seven-centered behavior, nine-centered principles versus seven-centered principles.
Yeah.
That's heavily what we're looking at.
And I think, kind of to close out this conversation based on what you just said, I'm curious for someone like me, let's talk about a first line. Ask the question, needs the foundation. What is the line between trying to understand versus the gossip, right? Because I remember that first conference when I was pulled into the Airbnb with everybody. I sat there for what, like 2 hours and just asked you and Sam questions about everything, like any question that I had. It was about people with like your interactions with people, about relationships, about experiences, about awareness, right? Like where is that line between seeking to understand and the gossip?
Well, it comes down to whether or not you're saying something that's true or not, and whether or not you're saying something that can, where was it, like, if you're talking about something that's not even your experience,
Why are you talking about it?
where yeah where where's the you know what I mean where where's the where is it, like getting somebody to say something happened that didn't happen in order to get something to happen. You know what I mean? It's like, And that's very different from the, that's the thing is in a nine center context, we are here to respect each other's differentiation.
Yeah.
We're not here to agree with each other.
Right. You're
We're
not here to like
just
everybody.
not here to agree with everybody, not here to like
Yeah.
everybody. That's not the point. But that's the thing about being different is when you're actually different, when you're actually living this out, you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Criticize people. You don't care because you're living out your own movie. You're living, you're
Yeah.
in the game. So there's no concentration on this person or that person. If there's a severe offense, then that's one thing. So it's like if you're trying to understand, that's a sign of intelligence. That's a sign of consciousness to try and understand somebody. Try and understand why somebody does things the way they do things, or trying to understand why somebody's experience is the way that it is. It has to do with intention. And I think it's very, for me, I mean, maybe it's because I'm a second line and I have second line discernment. It's very easy for me to discern whether somewhere where there's, genuine intention as opposed to where somebody's being pretentious and
Yeah.
malicious. There's a large difference there.
Yeah.
And the thing is that very rarely is somebody that, in my experience, somebody's not going to be overt and upfront unless they have good intentions.
Yeah. That's a great point.
In my experience, yeah,
Yep. I would agree.
it's always, yeah, if somebody doesn't have good intentions, they're going to do things in shady ways.
Yeah.
People that have good intentions, they're a lot of times they're gonna be honest. They're not gonna, that's the thing is when you're about the truth, you have to be ready to fight. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because everybody's if you're about the
Stand in
truth,
it.
you have to, yeah, that's the thing about the
Yeah.
truth. And I mean, I know that very much as a pure individual. Yeah, I have to stand on my own 2 feet. Of course, I'm gonna have the assistance, right, of others. I get the assistance of, from or, a reflector of, you. I've got the assistance from, the tribe. I've got the assistance from the
Yeah.
collective, that's in my life. However, I do know that first and foremost, if you're an individual, you're gonna have to stand on your own 2 feet in the
Yeah.
truth, and everybody's gonna come. So I know that for anybody that's gonna stand in the truth, that you have to be ready to fight, because
Yeah.
we live in a homogenized world that fights against the truth, that doesn't want to hear the truth,
Yep.
that suppresses the truth. So the
Yes.
moment that you're about the truth, I mean,
Get ready.
yeah, because there's a lady in the red dress, right next to you. Like it's,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? It's gonna
Yeah.
happen. So yeah, I think that anybody that's actually seeking the truth and seeking to understand, I think that there's going to be a good intention. It's going to be overt,
Yeah.
and they're gonna come to you, human to human, being to being, and there's going to be an inherent respect there.
Yeah.
And I'm always gonna respect that, because that's what it is to be nine centered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I love that. Whew. Some big topics. Anything else you want to say? Anything else?
I think that's a I think that's a wrap. I think there's
Enough candy for everyone to chew on for a little bit.
enough truth for everybody to face
Amen.
for a little while, because that's what people are gonna have to face. This is what
Yeah.
Human design is about. It's not about making people believe in shit.
Nope.
It's not
Test
about,
it.
yeah,
Test it.
it's about the truth. It's about what is going on in the 3D Maya, and the consequences we all have to either, that we either suffer from or thrive from
Yes.
in the Maya, based off our own correctness and our own frequency.
Yeah.
And I think that the more that people start to anchor into that, and more that people realize that there's consequences for your actions, whether and they don't necessarily always show up the way that you think that they're going to show up, but that's the way
Or
the
want
Maya
them
functions.
to.
Yeah, but that's the way the Maya functions. It's
Right.
like, Yeah, the more that the people anchor into the 3D world and into the physical reality, the material reality of the Maya, the better everybody's life is going to be. And that starts with high accountability, radical accountability. And that's just, I really do want that from as many people in design as there can, because I know their life's going to be better. Yeah. I think that's really all I have is just be. Don't do seven-centered shit.
That's step one.
And accept biological realities.
Step two.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in
You're
that order, but
not
both of
necessarily
them.
in that order, but do your best to be a nine-centered human. That's it's pretty simple. Like I said, we all have a built-in moral system underlying, period. That's going to vary, but I think it's really simple. I just think that this is a elephant in the room. This is a conversation that people didn't want to address and people didn't want to
Pushed,
have.
actively denied, pushed it
That
away.
put they actively denied, actively hid, actively exactly tried to keep secret. But like I said, there's consequences for everybody's action, whether that's physical or verbal. So yeah, just hope everybody takes away from it the whatever it is that they do, and whatever it is that they don't, then they don't.
Can't
It's
wait to
not
see
up
what
to
it
me.
is. Here we
That's
go,
it.
watch the Maya.
Yeah. That's all I've got. You got anything else, Sally?
No, I think that was good. It felt, I don't know about you, but it feels good to just like finally talk about it. You know, like we've talked about it one-on-one, but to again, like you say, just let it all out there and not feel like I need to protect other people's reputation or I need to, you know, try to smooth things over. It just is what it is, and that's okay. I mean, it's not okay, you know, but it's life.
Yeah.
It's
It
life.
feels good to, yeah. And and even then it's still not all out there. That's the other thing about it. But this is just a
Many
surface level,
conversations to come.
a surface level, a surface level taste of how bad it is.
I can be,
And with the intention that it changes without there having to be further
Consequences, truths.
unpleasantries brought up. And further unpleasantries brought up. But yeah, thank you, Sully. And I'm gonna leave
Thank
it there.
you.
I hope you all enjoyed that. Bye for now.
Bye.